The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
From the other side of the river to you, it's the Nate Darling Show. Featuring Sam Platts, Diana Hong, and Kareem Daniels. And now, taking with you to bed, here's Nate.
Hello, everybody.
That's Kim Kardashian's vagina. That's not Nate.
How's it going?
So damn good.
Awesome, now that you're here.
Greetings from heaven.
Hi.
How's there it going? He is.
Oh, God, there we go. Turn that down. Turn me up, turn that down. All sorts of stuff going on. Hey, welcome back. Deep breaths, everybody. Deep breaths.
In. Out.
And happy Back to the Future Day, everybody.
Yay.
It's a thing, I guess. I've read it on the internet, so it's a thing.
It's definitely a thing.
It's, yeah. You know, here's the other thing about that. We're not going to talk about that at all today.
Yeah.
If you want to know about Back to the Future Day, fucking Google it. Look it up. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
You know your nerd friends that aren't really the cool nerds or the super nerds? They're already posting about it. They have been for weeks.
For weeks.
Mm-hmm. It's at movie theaters.
Some of them a year ago. Oh, 1 year away.
Yeah. 1 year. I'm counting down a year to a made-up thing about a movie from 30 years ago.
And there's no hoverboards yet.
They're always complaining about
why
the
not?
Hoverboards.
Why do I have to still tie my sneakers?
Because you're an idiot and you can't invent your own sneakers.
Invent
hey,
sneakers.
We have been past that and beyond.
Yeah.
I have a sneaker story to tell you. It's a sad sneaker story. We'll get to that. Coming up on the show today, we hear from one of the heroes from the Oregon shooting. He talks about what it was like to get shot 7 times. It wasn't fun. The Westboro Baptist Church is out protesting someone again, and this time I'm kind of on their side. We'll explain. Plus, some really stupid things said on social media. We got all that going on, but first, everybody, everybody, how was your week? But let me introduce everybody. Jason is here. Sam is here. Sam's back, and Kareem, of course, is here.
Sam is back.
Holding down the fort. Yeah.
So it's an all guy podcast.
Look out!
It's an all guy. Diana could not afford gas money to get here. So I know it's sad, right? She said she'll probably be back next week. I'm not kidding about that.
Okay. Start a fundraiser.
That was one of her reasons. I don't know if I have enough gas to get there and back.
You guys are not buying enough stuff from Amazon, all right?
Maybe we need to make one of those sad commercials, hire Sarah McLachlan, get that music, and show pictures of Diana.
I will say this. You guys are not buying enough stuff from Amazon because as of last check in October, we have a grand total, and I shit you not, of $2.24.
Woo, woo, woo. Hey, I just bought an over $100 purchase of pots and pans and things for my new place.
As long as you clicked through, that's good.
I did. That should be showing up.
Good times. It's hard to complain because we had a couple of very good months. We got the new mixer here. We already talked about that at length. Christmas is coming up, so urge everybody to, if you're doing your Christmas shopping, check out Amazon and click through the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com. It's something that costs you nothing extra. Nothing extra.
Just a little love, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of love in your heart.
Mm-hmm. It helps support your, well, if we're not your favorite podcast, you're listening.
Exactly.
So there you go. And it's free. The podcast is free. It's all we ask of you.
Yeah.
And welcome aboard to new listeners. I've heard from a few people that are new to the show. What are you passing around over there?
Oh, just
showing shots of the phone. It's like, here, look at my phone.
That is it.
Kareem, you had your birthday and Juke Joint Friday on Friday. I'm sorry I could not make it out.
Yeah, it was a I got a job on Thursday.
What? Congratulations. Raise the roof, right?
Juke Joint on Friday. Saw the Brown Fellinis for the first time in 20 years on Saturday.
Wow.
Boom.
How'd that feel?
Is that what you named your balls?
Good one. You haven't seen them for 20 years.
I can still see my balls.
Thank goodness.
I keep mine underneath. I mean, I could. I just don't want to.
And went to a talk given by one of the ladies from MOVE on Sunday.
Okay.
So, and for y'all who don't know what MOVE
was, I was going to ask.
That was a Yeah, it was an organization in the 70s, 80s in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. Until their house got burned down.
Until the Philadelphia police department burned their house down.
Okay, wow. Well, quibble about the details if you will.
There's a documentary on Netflix called Let the House Burn.
Wow, damn.
Yeah, so okay. You should check that out.
Let the House Burn, I'll look that one up.
I remember seeing that on TV in Vermont. Like, hey, this radical group in Philadelphia caused a thing, and now their house is on fire.
Yeah, no, the police, they set that shit on fire like they did Waco.
Yeah.
Well, here's the other thing about when you're talking about a national news story that you're hearing somewhere else, you're not really getting a lot of details.
Yeah.
It's a real broad thumbnail.
Right, right.
Which was true. There was something going on. They were considered radicals, and their house was on fire. So the report I heard, all correct.
Correct, yeah.
But it wasn't necessarily
some detail.
A lot of details left out.
Like, oh, we didn't drop a bomb on it. They didn't tell you that they dropped a bomb on it.
You know, actually, there was some mention of that and question of how it started.
Yeah.
And was it caused by, like, a police flash grenade, that sort of thing. So I do remember that being brought up.
Yeah.
That it wasn't just simply, oh, we decided to burn ourselves.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that at all.
Well, what was her talk about? Was it about that, or was she talking about some other
thing? It was about
thing?
That and about, well, it wasn't really about that. It was about Mumia Abu-Jamal, who's a political prisoner who's been in the prison since the 70s, and how the government is...
In the U.S.?
Yeah, mm-hmm. How the government's killing him now by denying him medical attention, or the medical attention he needs.
Yeah, if you've been in jail that long, you're getting older.
Yeah. And they're, yeah. So he was convicted of killing a cop, but we don't really know whether he did it or not. Mm-hmm. And actually, most people kind of lean more towards the fact that he didn't do it.
Yeah.
The shit that was going on with COINTELPRO and the police departments in the 70s.
Yeah, there was a lot of shit going down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
70s, the shit going down era.
How was that?
Late 60s, early 70s. Right. Yeah, there's a lot of shit going down.
And then
that was
the
deluge.
80s.
I encourage everyone to watch Shaft just to get a thumbnail idea of what was going on.
Yeah, no.
He's
Shaft.
A bad mother.
Dolomite.
They would have shot Shaft in his sleep. Right. Like they killed.
Why? Why? Just because Shaft went into the police department and told the lieutenant what was what?
Yeah. Well, that's what they did.
Spoiler alert.
That's what they did to Fred Hampton.
Yeah.
The Chicago police killed him in his sleep and tried to claim that he was shooting at him. Like, it's kind of hard to shoot at somebody when you haven't woke up yet.
Yeah, and shooting, knowing that the bullets are going through the walls that they're shooting at.
Yeah.
Like,
especially pre-Ambien. I mean, now someone on Ambien can be doing almost anything asleep.
Yeah. Okay.
Pre-Ambien.
Pre-Ambien.
This is all pre-Ambien.
Pre-Ambien.
Yeah.
PA.
So, but it was a really good birthday.
There you
That's
go.
That's so good.
Gosh. And then, yeah, and Jason came to Juke Joint, and it was a good, really good show.
Excellent.
We need more people to turn out, but you're missing actually good quality shows as opposed to 10 comics and 5 bands.
Yeah.
You get two acts that actually get to showcase what they do. So, oh, and we made it into the B.
Finally.
Boom.
For the three to see column, so mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I was fully intending to go on Friday, and I'm on my way home Friday night, and I'm talking to my dad on the phone, and all of a sudden I go, my throat is starting to hurt, and I'm like, oh shit, and I get home and I have a little something to eat, and I'm like, this is not getting better, and the last thing I want to do is go out and get a bunch of people sick if I've got something that's contagious. So I spent most of the weekend sick. Like,
we appreciate you not showing up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. More people should not show up when they're sick. Leslie brought me out. We went to Target. We got some Zicam. We got some stuff to prevent, the whole thing. Got to
get that zinc, dude. It's the only thing that's proven to actually shorten the length of a cold.
Got that. Got some lozenges.
Some knowledge for you.
Got some orange juice. Got anything to deal with the symptoms so that it wouldn't get worse.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But you know, still, when you're sick on the weekend, I feel like the universe cosmically owes me 2 days now.
For real,
mm-hmm.
What a bummer!
Because if you're sick during the week, you call in sick to work, and you go, "Well, I'm sick, but at least I'm not at work."
Yeah.
And when it's on a weekend, I mean, it's the same thing. You're not burning a sick day, but you're like, I really wish I could go do something.
But at this time of the year, you have sick days to burn. Am I right? I do.
Well, good for you. I don't know if I have that many sick days to burn.
You're not supposed to burn sick days.
Right. Well,
oh, come on.
The big thing is I have work to burn through.
Yeah, that's the big problem. Yeah.
Yeah. When you get a lot of work to burn through, you don't take a lot of me days.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have the trip to Vegas coming up, which is
nice.
Vegas.
Thanksgiving week. Leslie and I going to Vegas. And then I'm going back to Vermont the first week in December. So that'll be, by the way, talk to my dad this weekend, and on Sunday he said, the snow didn't melt till this afternoon. That's right. Aww. It's snowing in northern Vermont now. The ski areas, they've got snow. Ski areas got snow. Overnight lows in the 20s. Daytime
See,
high,
there you go.
Daytime highs in the 40s. There you go, because I don't want to go there. I've been there. It is not that much fun.
Yeah.
So, man. Jason, what have you been up to? You did the you went to Juke Joint Friday.
Yeah, I made a new friend.
Did you?
So that was cool. So thank you for not coming, Nate, because I was able to meet somebody.
Nice.
And had to actually talk to somebody besides.
That's silver lining.
You know, I got to see Jason. I hadn't seen Jason wrestle for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He was a comedian. And let's see. Yesterday we went to Apple Hill.
I saw the photo.
I love it.
Yeah.
My 20 was up there yesterday.
Your what?
I have a twin brother. He was up there with his wife just yesterday, too.
Really?
You guys probably
we might have
fought over the apple cider at one point or something.
It could have been at the Rainbow Farms.
The thing that's interesting, well, first of all, you hadn't met Sam, so there's no way you would know.
Right.
Right, right.
Second of all, your brother looks enough different than you do.
That you might not think.
Yeah, you might not think. You might see him and go, that guy looks a little like Sam. You know,
right.
maybe he's his cousin.
Is he clean cut? Like,
no. He's got a beard.
His hair is shorter, but he's bearded.
Yeah, and he looks enough. I mean, they're twins, but they do look
facial
a little
facial structure. He's taller than I. You know, he's
just
got
as
a
handsome,
little more
though.
In the middle. Yes, well put.
the handsome couple and the cute girl and the tubby guy, I think
the biggest difference is your brother wears glasses.
Yes, he's never been a fan of the contact lens.
So that's the other thing. Yeah. If you see the two of them, you go, I think a lot of it's the glasses.
I wish I could wear glasses. Like, yeah. That's a God,
they're stylish these days, you know?
They've been stylish.
Can you not wear glasses because your eyesight is good or because you have one ear lower than the other? What's
a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
Fantastic. Tell us more about Apple Hill.
Oh, it was
I
want
to know about your magical experience.
It was amazing. It was great. You know?
I want to experience the sensory. You had?
I knew how it goes up there. So we got up there like 1:00.
Good.
And we went to Rainbow Farms to get the apple donuts and apple cider.
Yeah.
Apple pie. Had that. Then we went to. We're gonna go to.
Do they sell pumpkins there?
Yeah, they do.
They do. Oh,
they
okay.
Do. We went to. We're gonna go to Jack Russell Brewery, but that place was. A fucking madhouse
for sure.
So we went up to Hill Family Farms. That's just like the very, very last one,
right at the bottom down there.
Or no, all the way at the
top. Up past like Abel's and all that.
Way up at the top. So we went there. Was great. Had a good time. And we're like, okay, let's go home. Because you can get on the freeway right there.
That's perfect.
And bypass everybody getting on the freeway later, which sucks. And then we had lunch in Placerville.
Yeah, and you're not from the Northern California area, Apple Hill is, what, about 45 minutes east of Sacramento? And it's where everybody in Sacramento and a lot of people in the Bay Area go in the fall because there's apple picking and fresh cider and all sorts of family fun stuff.
And it's actually somewhat cool out if you go at the right time.
It is. It's also incredibly crowded because it's a touristy thing to do. And I mean,
it is.
If you're like in upstate New York, there's people showing up to apple orchards this time of year too, but it's for cider donuts, which I think they have at Apple Hill. Yeah. So it's along those lines. If you're listening in, say, upstate New York, it's a lot like going to any orchard, except it's a bunch of different. Apple Hill is basically a bunch of different farms and orchards and businesses that are, well, on a hill.
Yeah.
Overlooking
just north of Placerville, Hangtown.
Yeah.
Hangtown.
Old Hangtown. And honestly, like, the thing
That's also what Kareem calls his balls.
There's a place like this.
I was going to say, I drive through here as fast as I can.
because California is so arid and stuff like that in most places, like, San Diego has a place like this called Julian. Mm. It's very similar. Everybody goes up there this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
So places, I think, where people,
But if you live in the Bay Area or San Francisco or like lower south, you don't really have the opportunity to go to places like that.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why it becomes a tourist destination.
Yeah, it's a refuge more. You know, it's like, get me out of the goddamn heat.
Here's how I went to Apple Hill. I was walking through Costco and they were selling Apple Hill cider. And I'm like, I will take a
gallon.
Oh, yeah. Fresh, fantastic, organic cider.
Yeah.
And I got me a gallon of it.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm actually supposed to be going up there this weekend.
Nice. I went in the beginning of the month. Actually, it was end of September with my girlfriend. She just was dying to go. I like to go normally in first week of November because then it's really cold. There's less people by then.
Yeah, the tourists are gone.
And you can buy one of those giant-ass apple pies that you save for Thanksgiving. And put that in the freezer, and you're good to go.
Yeah,
so,
that's cool. What I'm going for.
That's what's up. That's the way to do it.
So, Sam, you've been gone for a couple of weeks now with work and such, but you're now moved into your new place?
Yeah, I've been finally sleeping in my own bed again and all this. It feels good.
You're not sleeping with your grandma no more?
No more hanging with Graham. Although, I can't complain. Grandma's was a little piece of paradise, man. She treats you good.
Of course she does.
But anyhow, it's good to have my own place. It's a beautiful... I've been like hunting the Craigslist like a mofo. And of course, Amazon, which you'll see the check.
Right.
every waking moment, I've been driving to the Bay Area, Dixon, up even further up. Different places picking up furniture and things.
Oh, okay.
Off of Craigslist for hella deals. It feels good. I'm well accomplished. I did not go to Apple Hill, but I did go to the Pumpkin Patch this weekend with my lovely girl.
Saw photos of that too.
Yeah, it's always fun. There's two pumpkin patches in Dixon, the Cool Patch, which is where the giant corn maze is.
Right.
I went to the smaller, more quaint one, which is, it's a little more nostalgic for me. It's a little less commercialized.
How many times do you get naked in there?
Yeah, no, that's going to be left for the imagination. We'll leave that there.
Jason, you don't know, Sam has a penchant for getting naked in places.
So it's one of my favorite things.
It's one of his favorite things to do.
That's
I've just
to
come to terms that I am perhaps an exhibitionist.
Perhaps. Yeah. Here's the other thing. He doesn't have to be drunk.
No. Nope.
He doesn't care who he gets naked with either.
The more the merrier.
About that revelation, Jason.
That was awkward. Yeah. Let's take a pause.
Eesh. Stop taking your clothes off.
Oh, my nipples are cold. Put that away.
All right. So while we were away, Lamar Odom went to a whorehouse, that's what he was trying to do, trying
it's
to
a
drop
Spanish
out.
Fly.
It was what herbal Viagra is what they were calling it. He was in a coma for a while. Things were not going well for him, but he's apparently alert, awake, and improving. And now, as of earlier today, in physical therapy.
Already? Cool.
He is in physical therapy. Oh, yeah. Basically, anybody who suffers that sort of... And no one's really talking about much other than he can communicate. But there is the danger of brain damage, and no one's really talking too much about that. But they've got him into physical therapy. A lot of the NBA players have gone to see him. A lot of tweets talking about sending prayers all the way up, which I had never heard before. Because I don't know if there's something where you send prayers part of the way up or what the deal is. But Kareem, can you shed some light on this? These were all NBA players.
Well, do you know what D.L. Hughley said about that, right?
I do not.
He said prayer might have worked for Lamar, but nothing will wake your ass up like having your ex making your medical decisions.
That's true. That's the other point, because he and Kourtney Kardashian are, I believe, technically still married. The papers have not been finalized. So therefore, as his wife, she's been making all the medical decisions. She flew to Las Vegas, has been by his side apparently the whole time, sleeping on a cot bed in his hospital room. So say what you want about the Kardashians. That's a stand-up thing. For this particular Kardashian.
Yeah, and
she's always had a little more props in my book.
Yeah, she's always been the kind of the stand-up Kardashian.
Right.
So, and the crews are all gone too, right? I mean, like I heard like it was like a circus the first day, but then like now they're gone.
Well, yeah, at a certain point when the updates stop coming, it's like, you know, you'll get it from local news. There'll be something that comes through. And of course, TMZ is getting all the information. And of course, E! News. That was the other thing. It was like, hey, E! News is getting a lot of scoops. Wonder where they're getting them from. E! News stopped getting scoops when Kim and Chris left town. Mm-hmm. When those two left town, E! News stopped getting a bunch of scoops. Wonder where they were getting all of those scoops.
Right.
Where could E! Have been getting the scoops? Don't know. But
the scoops.
But yeah.
I want ice cream now.
There's no word on whether Lamar will be making a full and complete recovery or not, but here's fingers crossed, hoping he can be up and whoring again soon.
Yes.
Because let's not forget, he was found in a drug-induced haze in a whorehouse. Let's not lose sight of that.
Right.
So I know there's been a lot of that, and somebody posted on Facebook. I saw this thing, and they posted a picture of a wounded combat vet who had thrown himself on a hand grenade. And it's like, there was no news coverage of this. It's like, of course not, because no one knew who this person was.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not even remotely the same. So stop with the false equivalencies, people. Please. Yeah. For love of God.
And, I mean, you know, there's a sad part of it, too, because he's had a history of addiction, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So,
he's had a history of just shit just going wrong.
So, I mean, like, it's like, I don't know, addiction kills, what, hundreds of thousands of people a year. So
right.
It's like, I don't know, man. I mean, maybe this is his bottom and this is his time to change.
Yeah.
Well, and it doesn't help. I mean, he's come from a very rough situation from the beginning, with his dad having issues with drugs and abandoning the family, and
his mom died when he was 12.
Yeah, I mean, he's had a really rough go of it.
And he had two friends that died from drug overdoses this summer. So
oh yeah,
like
see?
One of his best friends died, I think, in June.
Yeah.
Shoot, man. So it's either wake up or follow the same path is where he's at right now.
Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, that's kind of what happens in the situation.
For sure.
People
yeah,
that, sure. If you come from a family of addicts, you either totally don't do whatever mm-hmm. or you pretty much fall in line.
Go straight in, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, sending prayers all the way up.
All the way up. Because if you send them part of the way up, no one will hear them there. So anyway, there were, hold on 1 second. I have some breaking news. This just came in today. Kareem, you'll be happy to know that a certain police officer has lost his job because he was in a fight back in October. He was accused of biting a man's testicles, and now he is no longer on the force. He's a Baltimore man. He was an Anne Arundel County police officer. He was charged with public intoxication, accused of biting another man's testicles during a fight outside a bar when he was off duty on Cinco de Mayo, or as I like to call it, amateur night number two.
Dose,
exactly.
How bad was he getting his ass whooped?
Apparently...
Well, if his head was in between these guys' legs, yeah, I would have done the same fucking thing.
The guy apparently had him pinned and was like kneeling on his shoulder, so his crotch was down near his face.
Sam, that does not help.
No, check it. Sam? I know.
Sam,
I'm painting a bad picture
here.
It does
not help your case.
Police told local news outlets that during the fight, the victim straddled him to keep him from getting away, and that's when he bit his testicles.
Yeah.
He's got 1 year of probation after being convicted on public intoxication and endangering the safety of another person. They've decided not to prosecute him on second degree assault, but he has lost his job as a sheriff's deputy.
How do you not get... You should be... Look, if you're biting balls, you should be prosecuted.
Allegedly.
For second degree assault.
He was... Well, the victim was treated at the scene and never went any further with it, so...
I would have went further. I would have been in front of the courthouse protesting every day.
With photos of
with
your
photos of my
balls.
Yes. Like, he... But, matter of fact, I would tattoo... I would kidnap him and drug him and tattoo "he bites balls" on his forehead. Just so everybody knows to stay
balls.
Away from him.
Not just in Sharpie. Wow.
Not just in
tattoo,
Sharpie.
Tattoo, babe.
Tattoo "he bites balls."
All right.
That's
well,
fun.
And not in a gay way.
It's not enjoyable for anyone.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not a game.
Yes.
It's
not a game.
Speaking of not a game, politics, not a game either. Jason Villalba, I believe I'm pronouncing that right, and I don't care if I'm not. He is a representative from Texas. He said Bernie Sanders is a Democratic socialist and Nazis were Democratic socialists. He also tweeted a meme. Please stop tweeting memes, politicians. You don't know what they mean. he tweeted a meme that said that awkward moment when Bernie Sanders admits he's a Democratic socialist, Nazis were Democratic socialists, and America fought an entire world war to stop the advance of democratic socialists. So he accused a 70-something-year-old Jewish man of being a Nazi. Basically. He is a state representative from Dallas. He posted the tweet during the CNN-hosted Democratic presidential debate.
Let's not pretend that there weren't any of those.
Right.
Jewish Nazis?
Yes.
Okay. To the tweet, he attached, of course, the image. A Democratic activist, Ed Espinoza, of Progress, Texas, which is a place, brought it to PolitiFact's attention. They didn't hear back from him about the presented Democratic Socialist conclusions, but he told the Dallas Morning News and the political writer for the Austin American Statesman that the image with its mentions of Sanders and the Nazis were just a meme he found online. That's nice. Don't tweet it, you idiot. He also insisted his tweet wasn't likening Democrats to Nazis. Quote. So is the history accurate in this? Of course not. Look, I was trying to make a connection between Sanders and the Nazi Party. Absolutely not. I categorically reject any suggestion that's what I was trying to do. The next day, the tweet was gone. Shocking.
You can't erase your tweets, people. Well, it just makes you look guilty. Like,
well, I know. It looks stupid.
By the time somebody calls you out on your tweet, they've got a screen grab of your tweet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's going around.
So basically, here's the thing. The Nazis were not democratic socialists.
No.
At all.
Not in the least.
So let's just, we can stop right there. And the San Antonio Current made that tweet their bonehead quote of the week. So congratulations. I also enjoy that the San Antonio Current has a bonehead quote of the week. So just that little extra bit.
So, and then let's not pretend that all Americans were against the Nazis. That's the other part of that.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's like Ford was like and the Kennedys, right?
I mean,
like,
that's Ford, like, the Kennedys, Lindbergh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had not heard the Kennedys. I had heard Ford and Lindbergh.
No, yeah. Kennedy's dad was. Yeah, Kennedy, like, yeah. He was.
You mean to say Charles Lindbergh was afraid of the Nazis?
He was a Nazi lover.
But you know, at the same time, I mean, Ford came around.
Kennedy
came around.
Ford.
I mean, money might have been involved.
Ford didn't come around.
He was paid. He was paid by the government. He was paid.
The Bushes were selling shit to the Nazis. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
George, what is it, Walker, whatever the first one was, he was selling stuff to the Nazis.
The one who fought in World War II?
The dad.
Oh, his dad. Okay.
His dad was selling, they were selling stuff to the Nazis.
That would be really weird. Your son's a fighter pilot and you're financing the enemy? That would be weird. Yeah. Well,
so they were selling all kinds of shit over there.
Well, the Nazis weren't, like, the Nazis were not our enemy. Like, we were like, we're out of this. Yeah. We're out of this. It wasn't until, like, we got pushed over the edge with Japan, and we're like, okay, we're going to need some help on this.
Yeah. It was like, oh, shit, we're not fucking with them. Actually, half of us agree with them.
Yeah.
Get out of the left lane, you stupid Asian bitch. I don't even know why you are there.
Diana's again, not even here.
And not to even... And
no,
not,
but I mean, no, we're no, talking about... Talking that's about the, got, know, got the, us into World,
got
War,
into World
II.
War II. Right. And then not to mention all the Nazis that we brought back to this country after the war and let live here or finance to go other places.
Well, there were quite a few in South America.
Yes.
Lots of Brazil, right?
Yeah.
Argentina is the big one.
Yeah.
All right. So anybody wants to argue that women are not dangerous in certain situations, they're not as dangerous as men... This is not true.
They don't know women.
They're more dangerous. Who's saying that?
Let's take a listen to this.
A Subway restaurant remains closed tonight after a naked woman trashed the fast food chain in East Anchorage last night, according to police. Channel 2's Travis Cacciatorian is live on Tudor Road with the very latest. And Travis, what's the condition inside the restaurant today?
Well, Maria, the details are limited right now, and the owners of the Subway are not commenting very much on the incident. Now, I did manage to take a peek out here earlier today. They did have paper covering all the windows earlier as cleaning crews went in and out of the building. Now, they've since taken that down, and it looks like it's in a lot better order as of this point, except for one note that says that this business is going to be closed for at least the rest of the night.
And do you have a copy of the complaint?
Yes.
With a $10,000 bail and facing multiple charges, 35-year-old Anchorage local Nikki Abril is now clothed after going on a naked rampage in a Subway restaurant.
We often receive reports of folks that are either on alcohol or drugs or both who are acting erratically. In this case, the woman just happened to cause a whole lot of damage in a very public place, so it garnered more attention.
7:30 Tuesday night, police received a call from employees that a female locked herself in the bathroom, refusing to come out. Hours later, she finally did what she was told and opened the doors, but completely naked and extremely violent.
Early estimates were that she caused approximately $20,000 worth of damage. She overturned several tables and chairs, ripped signs from the walls and the ceilings, destroyed the refrigerator, a toilet, and also let off a fire extinguisher.
One witness to the scene told KTUU, "I really didn't want to get anywhere near her. She was smearing feces all over stuff." Officers took her into custody and transported her to the hospital for detox. The Anchorage Police Department says although her actions suggest she was on drugs, they've not yet validated what substances were possibly in her system.
So, yeah, drugs are a bad thing.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I just think they didn't give her the double meat she ordered.
Right, she's pissed.
She's like, I ordered double pastrami on the sandwich.
All right, I'll
then
come
I
out.
Then I shat my pants, and that's why I took them off.
Smearing feces all over, really?
What are you going to do when the sink's broken? I couldn't help it.
I had poo in my eye. I couldn't see where I was reaching. I wasn't tearing shit up the wall. I just groping for a paper towel.
Somebody could just hand me a paper cloth or something. Just something.
Subway. I empathize. The poor girl.
Subway was more wrecked than a miner after Jared got through with him. Too soon.
Sometimes I feel like we might hear this story about Sam at some point.
You know, when you first started reading, I was like, that sounds like a good time.
First. Until the feces came out. It's always a good time until the feces start getting smeared.
Oh, man.
I'm waiting with bated breath to hear that somebody caught Sam somewhere naked in public.
I feel it's probably a matter of time.
Jason, you look confused. That was just the washing machine.
There was a towel. Okay. You've got one of those singing washing machines.
It's the washer or dryer.
I was like, what the fuck? Am I going crazy? I'm hearing tones
the
played.
Aliens, bro. They put something in your head.
It's some Close Encounter shit, man.
Hey! Okay, so the Westboro Baptist Church has announced its intentions to protest again, this time outside of Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis's courthouse in Moorhead, Kentucky.
Oh, thank God.
Here we go.
A statement tweeted last Friday, the WBC says that Davis, who was jailed in September for refusing to issue marriage licenses to any couples in her county, gay or straight, quote, took an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. Since the Supreme Court made same-sex marriage the law of the doomed USA back in June, the church demands that Davis uphold her oath and do it. Good for the Westboro Baptist Church. So the it's weird. They called for that. A member of the Westboro Baptist Church, though, this is the update from Monday, emphasizes the protest is focused most directly on what he calls the rampant hypocrisy of lukewarm Christianity, not Kim Davis's effort to block same-sex marriage. God says no divorce and no remarriage, and God says no homosexuality and therefore no same-sex marriage. If Kim Davis wants to declare the whole counsel of God and glorify his name, then great. She should condemn divorces and remarriages, including her own, as strongly as she condemns marriages between same-sex couples. But that's the way lukewarm Christianity is. They belly up to the smorgasbord and say which parts of God's words they want to uphold and which parts they want to wink at. I'm so torn.
Damn.
I don't know how to feel about this.
You're like, yay, wait.
Yeah. It's like,
I'm rubbing shoulders with the enemy.
Oh, yeah. What's going on here? So I don't know how to feel.
A golf clap?
I have no dog in this fight.
Let's give a golf clap.
Okay. Yeah.
That's like a distant There you go.
Could be anything.
That's one of my favorite noises in the world.
It is fantastic. But they've the last comedian they went to protest was Christopher Titus.
There's nothing so wrong with that.
Is that the guy who had a TV show in the
90s? He did.
He did. Very funny comedian. And he was very excited. He's like, I've made it. Come on out, motherfuckers. There we go. Hey, breaking news from Canada. The Liberals apparently are going to get a majority, which means Justin Trudeau will be the next Prime Minister of Canada, and Stephen Harper is out.
Thank God.
Well, there goes Nate Darling dropping some Canadian politics.
There's some Canadian politics for you. Breaking Canadian politics news that's now, as you hear this, at least 2 days old.
Get ready for some judging. It's time for Cool or Tool.
But let's face it, most of you have no idea what's going on with the Canadian election.
I'm just trusting in you.
I sometimes forget Canada exists. You know, until I hear an Avril Lavigne song, I'm like, oh yeah, Canada.
Oh, I forgot to tell the story about that. So I'll make something else up. First up in Cooler Tool, testicles.
Nice filler.
Sam. I know I'm looking at Jason. I'm going to Sam.
Testicles are fantastically cool. Specifically the scrotum, but if we're going to stick to just the... It's a living organism of its own that is temperature sensitive, it expands and contracts. It's incredible. Yeah, they're cool.
Kareem?
Testicles are amazing, but God did not design their protection well.
No. But imagine if we had them shoved up inside us, we might be having cramps like those poor women.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so...
I guarantee if you shove them up inside of you, you're going to have a cramp.
Yeah. Okay, so your brain is encased in something.
Right, I hear you.
It's soft and mushy. Your heart is encased in your rib cage. So your test... Yeah, there should be a testy skull.
Testy skull,
yes. I support that, yeah.
Yeah, well, basically, all they have is your dick is a flap in front of them as protection. That's it.
Exactly.
Jason?
Definitely very cool.
Here's the fun part. They are cool. They're, in fact, cooler than the rest of your body.
Yeah.
They're cool to the touch. And
Thanks to the scrotum.
They will go up towards your body if they get too cold as they seek warmth.
Yeah.
So there you go. Up next in Cooler Tool, Subway. Subway. Kareem.
Cool tool.
They are a cool tool.
Jason?
Tool cool?
Cuckoo ka-choo.
Sam?
They were my refuge from McDonald's when I was trying to be better, and then I realized they're not a lot better.
No.
So I realized they're tool.
Yeah, they're tool. And finally, in Cooler Tool, protesting. Jason.
Well, that's our God-given right as Americans, right? Cool.
I don't believe God gave American rights, but...
depends on which Americans you ask.
Right.
Cool.
I believe in standing up for what you believe in, but some protests could be better handled.
Communist.
I'm gonna go communist on this one.
You know,
son of a bitch! I thought you were so handsome until just now.
I'm gonna go cool unless you're holding me up from getting somewhere.
Right,
and then
that's
fuck
what
you.
I'm talking about.
And then fuck you and your protest, because now you're bringing me into it. And I'm not part of your fight.
They're going to kick you out of the naked hippie group, you bastard.
God damn it.
I expect that shit from Nate.
Trick question.
I think the protests need to be longer again.
I think so, too.
You know, I mean, like, that's the thing. You know, somebody crossing the freeway and stopping people's traffic, you know, that's... But, like, you know, these people walking from Seattle
that's
all the way
I'm
down
about.
To San Diego.
A committed protest, like something that shows a little effort.
Yeah.
I mean...
Don't just hold poorly handwritten signs that... in front of a fucking baseball diamond when I'm trying to watch a game.
Yeah,
sometimes that's all you can afford.
And don't climb up on the freeway. You're going to get hit by a car. And then that's not good for anybody.
Maybe rent a truck and stop your truck in the freeway.
No, that's probably a bad idea, too.
Also a bad idea.
That's just kind of a bad...
Big old semi-truck.
So
just block
it. Better.
Yeah, that might be all right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think it's more effective.
Okay, so Chris Mintz, who was wounded during the mass shooting at Umpqua Community College earlier this month, has taken to Facebook to share his eyewitness account. He's a 30-year-old U.S. Army veteran and student at the Roseburg, Oregon School, who many have hailed as a hero. He wrote on October 1st started so normal. He met up with a friend for coffee and even joked about ditching the writing class, where he would later find himself once the shooting broke out. He wrote, "We were sitting in class and there were a bunch of yelling that started in the other room. My teacher walked up to the door that connected our classroom and asked if everyone was okay. And no one could tell what the yelling was. The teacher knocked on the door and there were gunshots that sounded like firecrackers going off. I sat in the middle front of the class, so we all got up and took off out of the classroom. And I stopped and held the door open and waited for everyone to leave safely." Now, after making sure his fellow students were able to evacuate the classroom, that's one of the many instances in Mintz's account where he places safety of others over his own. He also describes alerting students in the library of the shooting and telling a young woman arriving on campus that, quote, "You can't be here. You need to leave." One of the most disturbing parts of his testimony is when he recounts his face-to-face run-in with the shooter, who was a 26-year-old student at the college. He said his face showed no emotion. It was as if he was playing a video game. He writes, "All of a sudden, the shooter opened the classroom door beside the door to my left. He leaned half of his torso out and started shooting as I turned toward him. He had a black shirt on, a shaved head, was tan and wearing glasses. He was so nonchalant through it all, like he was playing a video game. He showed no emotion. The shots knocked me to the ground, and it felt like a truck hit me. He shot me again while I was on the ground and hit my finger and said, 'That's what you get for calling the cops.' I laid there in a fetal position, unable to move, and responded, 'I didn't call the cops, man. They were already on the way.' He leaned further out of the classroom and tried to shoot my phone. I yelled, 'It's my kid's birthday, man.' He pointed the gun right at my face, and then he retreated back into class. I'm still confused as to why he didn't shoot me again." Mintz
has... Damn, he shouldn't say confused. He should say grateful.
I have to give props to the man's writing teacher, the class he was in, because that's a well-written piece. I mean, that's very... It paints a good picture.
It is. He adds that he was shot 5 times, once in each leg, once in the abdomen, once in the shoulder blade, and once in the finger of his left hand. He was one of 5 people wounded in the incident. 9 people, 8 students, and 1 professor were killed by the shooter, who authorities say took his own life. Mintz ends the Facebook post by thanking the police, EMTs, and hospital workers, saying they are the real heroes. They saved us. So if you were curious what it was like, that's fucking scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like that guy, he had his hit list, he went in to kill. I mean, otherwise, why would he show any mercy to this dude at all?
Well, I don't think he did.
Like,
I mean,
if you're in kill mode, video game, no emotion, just the guy's talking to me, kill him.
Well, here's the other thing, Sam. If the guy is down and obviously not a threat, and he thinks he hears something in the other room that could be a threat, that's probably why he didn't shoot him.
Okay.
I'm only guessing, but...
I'll accept that, Nate.
Nothing else makes a lot of sense, yeah. But... yeah, everybody needs more guns. That's the solution to this. All right, on to something better. Did anybody see Saturday Night Live this week?
Yes.
I saw a clip of Demi Lovato singing that my friend sent me. I don't know if that was this week, but it was.
It was. She was the musical guest.
My God.
They opened SNL with a mock of the Democratic presidential debate, including Larry David doing a Bernie Sanders impression.
Oh, yes.
I'm the only candidate up here who's not a billionaire. I don't have a super PAC. I don't even have a backpack. I carry my stuff around loose in my arms like a professor, you know, between classes.
He seems to have nailed you. What do you think?
So he's on, Bernie is on, what is it, with George Stephanopoulos on ABC. What is that Sunday morning show?
This Week.
Whatever. So here's what he
said. Called this week.
I think we'll use Larry on our next rally. He does better than I do.
Hey, Bernie Sanders, thanks very much for joining us this morning.
So that was his response to the SNL cold open.
That was great.
He kept going with it earlier in the week, but he's like, yeah, we'll bring Larry David out on the campaign. He does better than I do. Then I don't have to go out and do it. It's like, all right. So they announced the sexiest woman alive. And did you guys see this?
I did.
All I know is there's a lot of different tastes of sexy, and I'm usually uninterested, but let's hear who they picked.
They picked Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones. She was listed as Esquire's sexiest woman alive. I'm going to go no. No.
Yeah.
Not the sexiest woman alive. Jason?
Which one is she?
She's usually blonde on Game of Thrones.
Oh, not Daenerys Targaryen. No. She's the mom, right? Like the
Did you Are you able to turn that screen around for him? For this poor young man.
No, I cannot turn the screen around.
I have it it's up just, right now, but I'm not.
It's just a laptop. There's a whole gallery of photos of her. She is
the main character in Game of Thrones. She's blonde. They on the show. She's blonde.
Yeah, she's the one that has the dragons, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's hot.
Yeah, she's hot.
But is she the sexiest woman alive?
I mean, listen, I think I'm getting to that age where I might be a little too old for her.
She's 28. You
know, oh, is she 28?
Yeah.
Oh,
y'all are
damn,
about the
yeah.
same size. What are you talking about?
I know, right? Yeah, she's sexy, right? I think she's sexy.
Well, I'm not saying she's not, but...
She's very attractive. She's not the sexiest in the world.
No.
Who? I can't give her that.
Who's yours?
Who's
I
yours?
Still think... I mean, I could throw a number of names out, but just... What I think she's probably in her prime would have been a better candidate, but even today, I think Catherine Zeta-Jones is one of the sexiest women in the world.
No. Sorry, man.
Well, you're wrong. Every one of you.
She has a flat booty. Like a really flat booty.
No.
Just off the top of my head. Just off the top of my head. I will say Kate Upton will trump this Emilia Clark all day. Sure. Yeah. All night.
No.
I don't know. See, I'm not. Kate Upton isn't that.
Kate Upton is like basic white girl to me.
Okay. Well, what's Kareem's flavor of the week?
Yeah. Well, who is the sexiest woman alive, Kareem?
Who is the sexiest woman alive? Let me see. I always think of Selma Hayek when I think of the sexiest.
Okay. She takes the trophy from homegirl here.
I always think of Selma Hayek when I think of. I'm trying to think. Who else? Jennifer Lopez would be the
Kareem's just naming 40-year-old chicks.
Well,
Kareem only likes women in their 40s. That's all he likes.
Well, you know,
come on, that's not sexy right there. Come on,
that's not the sexiest in the world.
That is sexy. She is sexy. I'll give her that. And I'm not saying that I like her better than I do Kate Upton.
Yeah, okay.
Good for you.
It's a 50-50 split.
Oh, okay. Emily Ratajkowski.
Now you're dropping names. I don't know.
She's definitely sexier than Emilia Clarke.
And she's definitely sexier than Kate Upton.
Okay.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things. There's no right answer. But yeah. Emilia Clarke,
we'll say she's the hottest in current pop culture.
No, she's
say maybe that.
Well, I wouldn't even say
no,
that.
No, she's not. I don't even know if she's the hottest one on Game of Thrones, is she?
I think she. I don't know, guys. I feel like I should be saying something different, but
we're silently
very,
judging you, Jason.
You are very that's, much. So I can't okay. screw up any further. Like,
you agree with Esquire, and that's fine. There's no shame in that. Okay.
Maybe it's just because it's okay, I'm seeing Jason. That, like, and like I'm seeing so much ScarJo already, and I've seen so much, you know, Jennifer Lawrence already.
So
and,
it's
like,
just something fresh.
Anne Hathaway, yeah. I mean, like I'm
Anne Hathaway.
I thought Anne Hathaway is totally hot.
She's okay. But she's not in this.
Okay,
not Kareem. Not in the same league.
Who
is Kareem?
He's
pulled
educating
up?
Us on his pick of the week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Imrata.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a bunch of really hot chicks you've never heard of that are on Instagram.
Right.
They're
on the Chive website.
Yeah, but she's not.
Yeah, they are.
She's she's a model. She was in Gone Girl.
Yeah. Mm. No. There are a ton of like. All I'm saying.
She's
is,
in that Robin Thicke video.
Oh yeah.
Blurred lines.
All I'm saying is that Esquire is a little bit off with their pick of the sexiest woman alive.
Well,
and I'm not saying she's not sexy, because she is. Yeah. She's a very attractive lady.
Well, those lists are always kind of political.
Right.
You know, yeah, I'm sure that's to do with
it's promoting her career. Her agent hooked her up and she got
something. Oh, sure.
Yeah. Like if you ever look at the Maxim Hot 100 and you look at half of those chicks, like the top 50, the bottom half is usually better than the top half.
For real.
I'm just, you know, the thing, honestly, what I'm really not happy about is that I'm going to have to listen to Adam Carolla talk about this for a half an hour tomorrow. Like, I'm going to listen to him talk about how much he hates. Like, he's like, come on.
Well, I didn't do the whole list. I just picked the
Jessica
the top one.
Alba.
Oh, okay.
Jessica, come on, son. That's okay.
And she's had a couple babies too. Yeah,
Jessica Alba 5 years ago.
No, today, bro. She was on Rachel Ray the other day, looking fine.
Yeah, she's. Yeah, and now she has some experience, and she has some compassion, and she knows what, like...
And she's running businesses and being all professional, not just being some hoochie mama.
And she's such a master thespian. Oh, wait, no.
I'm not getting into that.
No one ever claimed that.
I would still prefer Scarlett Johansson to her.
Oh, ScarJo, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, ScarJo.
I'm a fan, but, you know, we'll all agree on that.
Yeah.
You know who's really... amazingly beautiful is my fiance. I think she's probably the most beautiful woman. She's the sexiest, without a doubt.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, that's
Jason said it.
He did. And hold on, there we go.
Damn right.
That's what we're going. All right, so let's do this right now.
Jason, somebody told me at work that she was a pussy whip. You got to flip it. Throw me pussy whip. Whip that
from
pussy.
From fools to bang, 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 here's bang. Florida
Corner. Sue, if you're listening, I'm sorry that these men are denigrating your daughter this way.
Oh! Hey, Dateline Lake, Hamilton, Florida. Polk County Sheriff's deputies say Derek Candelario, who's 21, butt-dialed 911 on his cell phone about 7:20 p.m. on a Thursday, and you're thinking, what's the big deal? It's just a missed 911 call. But when deputies responded to help the Lake Hamilton Police Department regarding the hang-up, they found him in the park, which had been closed for the night, and he was non-cooperative. That meant he was arrested and charged with failure to appear on aggravated battery charge, resisting an officer, and possession of marijuana.
Aww.
So that's unfortunate. But our winner of Bonehead of the Week in Florida, this is even super special for Florida Corner. It's a chick who was using Periscope. And you're thinking, what's so bad about Periscope? Well, nothing. Unless, well, you're doing what she was doing on Periscope, which was driving. Drunk.
I come drunk. Let's see if I get DUI.
Mm, turns out she did get that DUI after live streaming her drive home on social media. Lakeland police arrested a 23-year-old woman after she broadcasted her ride using the phone app Periscope. 10 News reporter Garen Flowers takes us through how police put a lid on a potentially deadly situation.
If you're not new, I'm driving home drunk.
Her comments say it all, but the video is more telling of what happened on Saturday night in Polk County. Lakeland police say 23-year-old Whitney Bill had a fun night drinking on the town, then decided to broadcast her drunken drive home live on the smartphone app Periscope.
And you hear her saying she's drunk.
With Periscope, you can stream live from your phone to anywhere in the world. So people from all over tuned in to Bill's wild ride through Lakeland. Sergeant Gary Gross with Lakeland police couldn't believe it.
I got to tell you, I was in a little shock. After 30 years of law enforcement, I hadn't seen anything like this before.
Viewers tried to get her to stop, and two ended up calling 911.
They're like, well, what is Periscope? Luckily, one of our younger officers was able to figure it out and that helped us in getting her off the street.
And through seeing landmarks in the video, they were able to track her down. Bill's more than 15-minute ride, all on Periscope, took her here to Carpenter's Way. That's when authorities saw her hit another curve. Then they were able to stop and arrest her. The technology helps lead them to her, preventing a potentially deadly situation on the road.
It's probably technology like anything else we'll look at. We'll probably have selected individuals within a police department that will be trained and be able to use it.
While Bill probably prefers to be seen here instead of here, police say seeing a drunk driver through their eyes should be a reminder. Don't do it. After the wild ride, Bill was taken to the Polk County Jail. She might have committed multiple offenses, but authorities have only decided to charge her with DUI. Live in the Information Center, I'm Garen.
That's nice of them to only charge her with DUI.
Stop posting shit that will get you arrested.
Yeah.
Just stop being a damn idiot.
Cream, she was streaming stuff. She wasn't posting. She
either
was
or.
I had to talk to my fans. I'm so drunk right now. I don't know what's
going on. Our young officer
on.
Just told us there's someone drunk driving, and they know because they have a submarine. Right? Is that a Periscope?
I didn't know McHale's Navy came all the way out here.
It's a German U-boat. Does that have anything to do with the German U-boats? Let me just say this, and I will give props to the Sacramento Police Department. The Sacramento PD uses Periscope to broadcast press conferences and a variety of community events and stuff like that. So if you're in Sacramento, in the Sacramento area, Sac PD does know what Periscope is. The people in Florida don't.
So this is what I want people to do listening, is I want you to start live streaming broadcasting like that you are drunk.
Right.
Don't be drunk.
Right,
but
yeah.
like act like you're drunk.
Pretend.
And then get the cops to pull you over and be like, ah, psych.
Oh, dude,
like you shouldn't have been doing that. Shouldn't have been looking at the Periscope.
I'm also a little confused because that reporter had a mumbling problem, so I'm not sure if she hit a curb or a curve.
Curve. I heard that. That bothered me.
She hit a curve, and I'm talking about.
They saw Bill hit another curve.
Yes. We go now to reporter Mushmouth with the latest.
Mushmouth, those are the same thing.
Hey, Bambi, what be going on, be?
Abba dubba
ubba. Hubba bubba.
That's right. It's that reminds me of Fat Albert, which reminds me of Bill Cosby.
Hey, hey, hey.
Yeah, and the November 2015 cover of Ebony Magazine, which features the Cosby Show cast photo, as though behind cracked glass.
Oh, that's deep, man.
And Malcolm and Jamal Warner.
That's not deep. That reminds you that all black media is white owned. That's how deep that is.
So what am I going to do with 20 subscriptions to Vibe?
All white owned.
So Malcolm Jamal Warner went on The View, which is co-hosted by Raven Simone, to weigh in on what was going on.
Malcolm, talking about images, take a look at this upcoming cover of Ebony. What does this mean to you?
We really don't have enough time on this show to really talk about how I feel about that.
It's kind of a fractured picture of the family, right?
Sure.
It's fractured.
Yeah. Let's not forget that The Cosby Show was a sitcom and not a reality show. Let's just remember that this was a sitcom. We had writers and things of that.
Yeah, because she has to point that out, because now everybody thinks that any show is a fucking reality show. Yeah. They don't remember what a sitcom is.
There's things about that show that nobody's ever going to take away from you. You know, mm-hmm. It was a pioneering show. It broke ceilings for African Americans, and I think it's got to be viewed in a silo. And you know, and you both need to be very proud.
I'm going
to
love
everything that show
represents. Thank you, and I think that's the show that we're all very proud to have been on. And Keisha and I Pulliam said a really interesting thing in that her perspective is the legacy cannot be taken away because all of the good that show has done cannot be taken away.
Sure.
The generation of people of color who have chosen to go to college because they watched that show and because they watched Different World, you can't take that away. And I think that was a really good point that
you
should
make. Yeah, I want to talk to you about a show that you're working on.
So, Kareem, what do you think? Were you one of the African-American men that was encouraged to
I'm from a generation of African-American people who were encouraged to all of my family, we went from farm workers to professionals,
right?
Like most of my folks work in the hospital now. My brother runs he keeps turning down an opportunity to run a plant that makes lockers in Robinsonville, North Carolina. One of my other brothers is important person at Procter & Gamble,
mm-hmm.
at their corporate headquarters. My sister is worked for the school board back in North Carolina. Like she's been like the person next to the superintendent in several different counties. So, and my niece is a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a whole generation of black people who, with the Cosby Show and A Different World, who were encouraged to go to school, get educated, become upper middle class people. So the idea that you would try to put take that picture and use it as something to go against Bill Cosby, it was a bitch ass move on the black woman who is the pawn of the white people who own Ebony at this point in time. And she should have been strong enough to stand up and against that and not do it. But like I said, black media is not black owned anymore, so it is what it is.
Well, I was just curious because I mean it was something that Malcolm Jamal Warner said, you know, quoted Keisha Knight Pulliam, but again, they were child stars. So I wanted to see from your experience if that was
a whole generation of people that did that and kids of kids who are a result of that, mm-hmm. you know. Like I said, all of my folks are professional. Like most of my folks are professionals. They're not, you know, like they're not running the streets or drug dealers or whatever. You know, my other sister works at the hospital. She's a ward nurse. She's back in school. One of my sisters is another. Well, I was a foster kid, so I have a bunch of brothers and sisters.
Okay, I was just gonna go. How large is this family?
I had six.
Okay.
So one of my brothers owns a barber college. The other one's a marketing person.
Mm-hmm.
That's one family. And then my sister in that family is she works for a company that makes drugs, real drugs. She works for a pharmaceutical company. She's like the head of her department that makes whatever. I think they make vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
Another cousin who works for Merck as a person who actually designs the drugs that they use. So yeah. So I said, just the fact that you would take that, you can say or do whatever you want to as far as Bill Cosby as a man,
but the cultural impact
of the show remains, yeah. And the fact that you would just take that and try to turn it into something other than mm-hmm. what it was for us. It's shitting on a generation of people.
Well, and that's why I wanted to bring it up because it's important to talk about stuff mm-hmm. like this and really get into it because it's out there and people are going to look at it and they're going to go, oh yeah, yeah, it really does do that. And if you don't, because you like to say a lot that white people don't have actual black friends. It's not a conversation you're going to have.
Yeah.
This is not a conversation you're going to have around the office.
No.
At all.
Yeah. But like I said, my cousin Lamont, he's a physical therapist. His wife is a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Same, you know, that generation.
Yeah.
You know.
And it was because... And
he has two 16-year-old boys that are in college now.
Mm-hmm.
That was the effect of Bill, the Cosby Show and A Different World on my generation.
Because you could see
that was
possible.
Yeah. Like everybody, like I went in the military, but a ton of my friends were going to historic black colleges
mm-hmm.
just based off of seeing that. Growing up and seeing that was a possibility.
That was a problem.
And that you could do it.
Right.
My brother Charlie, he's a... he works at a television station in North Carolina doing production. And then his wife works for another company where she travels around the country for them. So one of the girls I went to high school works for Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the cover of Essence magazine this month as one of the players in one of the black women behind the I forgot what the name of the title of the cover is, but it's like the black women who are behind the scenes at the White House.
Mm-hmm.
She was of that generation. So yes, it's like I said, if they wanted to tear down Bill Cosby, they could have tore down Bill Cosby.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
for sure.
And I would have been like, okay, whatever. But to take the image of that show and use that as this is, well, to me, that shows me that and I know we disagree on this, but this to me is another sign to me that that's bigger than whatever this is mm-hmm. bigger than what we were being told.
It's entirely possible. I mean,
yeah, I don't doubt that.
The big thing is when you see stuff like that, it's a very graphic image and it grabs your attention very, very, very. You know, it's a visceral thing because everybody watched the Cosby Show.
Yeah. And broken glass is a violent image.
Right. Which, it's like, oh, this is shattering our image of the Cosby Show. And I know they immediately took the Cosby Show off Nick at Night. They pulled it off everywhere it was. I mean, and I'm look, there we're over 50 accusers at this point.
Okay.
I'm leaning very hard toward there's probably something going on here.
Well,
but that doesn't change the fact that there was good that came from the projects that he was involved with. And you're right. You're absolutely right. There was no reason to put all of those other people that were around him in that.
Yeah. And what we were just talking about Fat Albert. Fat Albert was a great
Bill
vehicle.
Cosby.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and it was a great vehicle to.
I watched Fat Albert.
And, yeah. Yeah, but it's like I said. So it's like I said. If you wanted to tear him down and turn him into a monster, so be it.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I was never like a fan of him, his stand up.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
which, if you go back, it's a lot of him sitting down.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I wasn't really a fan of his stand up.
Mm-hmm.
But the Cosby Show in a Different World. That, like I said, that's just the idea that you would.
Right.
Take that, which was something that, yeah, just to take that and shit on it like that,
it's totally unrelated
with the whole incident. And like I said, the fact that if you're black and you still have an Ebony subscription after this month, then you are part of the problem.
Do you feel like this is someone trying to rip something away from you?
With that, yeah.
That, yeah.
Because with that, that is really trying to tear down any positive image of black people. You have gone from you have grown from taking one person who was is a cult. You could even say Bill Cosby is a cultural icon,
mm-hmm.
like an American cultural icon. Period.
Fair. Yeah, absolutely.
He was considered America's father for the last 20 years, or since the Cosby Show.
Yeah, 30 years.
30 years. Yeah. So since the Cosby Show. But there's so few images of positive black family men,
mm-hmm.
that is like you're literally trying to rip the foundation of what positive images of black men in this country. And that's way past the board for me on this.
Mm-hmm. Let me give you one more positive image. The president.
Yeah.
Very, very positive image. And a lot of people, and it's cloaked in a lot of bullshit.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of just ridiculous teardown attacks on him.
Yeah.
And of course it's racial.
Of course it's racial. And it happens to
every single president, but I'm going to agree it is
not
racial.
No, not to this level.
No.
Right.
This is a totally different ball of wax.
It brought the racists out of the woodwork.
You really, if you start, if you've got friends who are a little bit conservative, start clicking around. They'll like post a conservative meme or something.
Yeah.
Go to the group that created the meme that originally posted and start looking around at the things that they're posting.
And then you'll see one where Obama looks like a monkey. This is a bunch of racists.
Read
the comments.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that too.
If you don't
read the comments.
Yeah, if read the comments on anything.
Yeah.
I normally avoid the comments.
Yeah.
Right.
When you read the comment, you know what real America thinks.
Yeah.
Because that top story, that's what a section of America wants you to think or feel about that particular thing.
Totally.
But once you start reading in the comments, you know what everyday people think.
You know the really interesting thing is so many websites went to this thing where you have to either log on with Facebook or create an account so you can't just anonymously post and you go, oh, well, this is going to make it better. No. There are people with pictures of them and their kids writing the most horrific things in the comment section.
I used to say, what do you expect from people whose grandparents were taking the lynchings as children?
The worst, seriously, the worst people in the world. Now, not all of them, but some of the worst people you will see on Facebook, their profile picture will include their children. It's because, and I call it hiding behind the innocence.
And I can pull up a shitload of pictures of white families at lynchings pointing to the black.
Oh, yeah. No, I've seen those pictures. Yeah.
Like, oh. Mm-hmm. Or just like thumbs up on it. It's just, yeah.
Right.
Maybe for Christmas, Kareem. And between now and then, let's do this.
And now, the Nate Darling Show takes it to a simpler place.
You okay,
it's
Jason?
Time for Small Town News.
I just get really upset. Yeah.
Yeah. Jason looks like he's ready to cry more than I would.
He's got a lot of white guilt.
No, I don't believe it's white guilt. It's just called about being like sad for humanity. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Just like being sad for the fact that like people will think it's at any point it was okay to kill or do anything to another human being just because of they look different. You know, but it's been going on for that. But what can I do about it? What can I do? I'm just a cisgender white male. You know,
and it's like we were talking about before the show about the gentrification part.
Yeah,
it's like. A lot of the liberal white people who think that they aren't racist, and then they move into black areas, and you find out, yeah, you are racist. Because you're calling the police on fucking people that live there.
Systemic racism.
Yeah, you're the worst, by the way.
Yes, you are.
Hey, it's time for Speak Out on Small Town News. Hey, having more gun laws will not stop those who already have guns to act out. Guns should be registered by owners and followed up each year with house visits by law enforcement entities. Well, that'll go well. This would curb black market and illegal possession of firearms. Okay. Hey, we have seen there are about 70 miles of sidewalks or about 5,000 properties. We have not seen how many uncleared walks there really are. How many of these vacant properties and rental properties? Is this really a huge problem to deserve all this publicity? It's been a real big thing in Speak Out.
Wow.
The sidewalk. Hey, I'm all for trick-or-treat safety on Safety Street and other candy giveaways, but isn't the whole purpose to get kids in a safe environment off the streets? Wouldn't it make more sense to do these things on Halloween itself? I bet there will be people who attend on the Crate Center event and then go out again on Halloween. Well, of course
will. If I was a kid, double up.
Double candy.
That's what's up.
Hey, the reason snow on sidewalk reporting last year was so low, only some 10 per snowstorm, is because the public takes it as business as usual for the sidewalks to be snow-covered. Kids walking in the street on Catherine Street to go to school is a normal sight.
Damn right.
These are my streets, motherfucker. These are my streets.
Well, you know, there's snow on the sidewalk. We don't want the kids to walk in snow. Hey, why aren't coaches required to pass during the season drug test? I know for a fact of two that would test positive for alcohol and or cocaine while on their school's campus. Tell me how that's a wise decision not to be negotiated, let alone enforced, like random testing is done on bus drivers.
That's a bus driver that just lost their job.
Right.
James, did you write into the paper this week?
Oh, you read it?
Hey, somebody has to pay. Joyce Mitchell is a scapegoat. She's not solely responsible for the prison break. Hacksaw blades didn't cause the break. COs that didn't do their checks. Guard bypassing scanners. Albany denying lockdown. Violent inmates giving lenient privileges, wearing street clothes, rewiring their cells, given access to passageways? Yeah, we know. There's an investigation going on. Settle down. We'll get to it.
She's the... like, it's like somebody like trying to argue, like, hey, she's not the scapegoat. You know, hey, she's a scapegoat. She gave him a blowjob and some tools.
She claims she did not actually give him a blowjob, and the only time mouth went to penis was when he forced her. That was what she claimed.
Terrible. Gave him a blowjob and a blowtorch.
Finally, and here you figure out what this person is. Regarding the comment about negative comments at sporting events, I understand. However, some parents are more vocal than others. Although mean comments should not be made, there's nothing wrong with supporting your own team and saying a word or two about the other.
Says the dad that was kicked out because he'd had a six-pack and was telling his kid that...
Man up, Johnny.
Man up, Johnny, little bitch. You little bitch, Johnny. Get up.
What's going on with out there? You're going to lose those pussies?
It's when he took his belt off and chased his son off the field.
That's too much.
God damn it, Johnny.
You know what I know for a fact? The All Guy podcast is a very different vibe. I know Diana prefers the company of women, but she does not bring the testosterone like this group.
That's for sure.
I'm just saying. We do miss Diana. Hopefully back next week. We'll see.
Come back safe.
We'll do it again on Friday because we record two shows in one night. And no one's going anywhere.
It's science.
Cat's out of the bag, people.
What? So I've been coming here on Fridays for no reason?
I know. It's weird. I've been ducking down. What's he doing here?
He's here again, Nate.
Turn it off. What's going on? Damn it.
Pretend you're asleep.
Nate, I'm here for the podcast.
That's it. I'm taking off my clothes and rubbing defecate all over the walls. That'll get him to leave.
It's some fresh bread.
That's right. Yeah, you know what? You're not as scary as the ice cream man in this neighborhood. We'll see you on Friday with a fresh new show. Bye-bye.
Spin your ass!